This is Candace Ellis with Marguerite Zimbaro on July 8th. Zimbaro on July 8th, 2011 at the Panama Canal Reunion in Orlando, talking about life in the zone.
Right.
So we begin at the very beginning with how you came to be at the zone or how your family did.
Right. Mm-hmm. My grandparents both arrived, I think, 1920, on both sides of my family. My mm-hmm. mother's maternal and paternal. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, my maternal grandfather was at sea. He was a chief engineer on one of the ships that went through, wasn't going through. It was just out in the ocean, and somebody killed the ship's cook. So they had to look for the nearest American jurisdiction mm-hmm. to try him, mm-hmm. which was Panama. When they got to Panama, he decided that for some reason, and we don't know why, he just decided to go to work for the tugs division mm-hmm. right there in the canal, and he became the chief engineer for the tugs
okay.
at that time. That was in 1920. Then a few months later, he brings his family down to join him, and at that time, they had only four children. The last two were born there in the canal zone. When they first got there, they lived in, I think it was Pedro Miguel, and then they moved to Gamboa. And in Gamboa, a train would come in once a week with groceries, and my grandmother would go down to the train station. And all of the people, that's where they bought their groceries. They'd mm-hmm. just go there and get them. And then, you can stop this every now and then, right?
Oh, yeah, if you need to pause. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so they finally moved, and I'm not sure when, over to Cristobal, to New Cristobal. And that's I think they stayed there for as long as I can remember. That's where they lived. They lived in the same house as far as I can remember. And when my parents were divorced, I went to live with them for like 4 years in that house. My other grandfather, he came down. He was working in Costa Rica, and he worked with the railroad. So he's working there, and he decides that maybe he can get a job in Ecuador. He heard of some openings in Ecuador. So he hops a ship, gets on a ship, going through the canal. He's talking to the gentlemen below who are putting the ship through. And they say, hey, the man who was the dispatcher just died last night. So he jumps ship, and he's able to get that job. And then he remained there. Both of my grandparents worked there anywhere from 25 to 30 years. Now, my maternal grandfather, he had five children, and only his last one was born in the canal zone. All the others were born in the States, mm-hmm. my father included. Mm-hmm. And my mother also, on my maternal grandparents' side, she was born in the United States in Maine. Mm-hmm. Both, all of them were born in Maine, and both sides, yeah. Mm-hmm. My maternal grandparents, when they came down, they stayed for 3 years, and then they went back for their vacation. They mm-hmm. spent a couple of months in the States, which everybody usually got. Every couple of years, you'd get a free paid vacation back to the United States. So they went back there. And when they returned, my grandparents never, ever left the canal zone until he retired. Mm-hmm. And when he retired to the state of Washington.
Okay.
All the way across the country. From
totally
Maine
different
to, yeah. Right, exactly.
Environment, well, too, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the family knows why he decided to do that. As far as we know, everybody got along. Mm-hmm. When I was living with my grandparents, the housing there, one of the questions is about the housing. They had most of the homes that I lived in the beginning were the old French-style homes that were mm-hmm. built up on stilts. And they had large overhangs from the roof mm-hmm. and just screen windows. Mm-hmm. They all had transoms. They were on all the outside. There was like above the windows there and below the windows, They had an opening with a screen also, so that the air would circulate, and even sometimes between rooms, there would be transoms. So it was, wasn't really what you call private, you know. And that I think that's what caused the very good cross ventilation. So you really didn't. The French really had a good plan there.
It wasn't too hot, even with no AC.
No, it was really it was very comfortable because the air circulated so well. So it made it. It made it comfortable. The when I first got there, we all had ice boxes, and we'd get our the ice truck would come around. They would deliver the ice, and and all the kids would run out in the street, and there's always some leftover chunks, and they'd always give us a few pieces. So you know we enjoyed that. And underneath the houses, they always had an area that, when those houses that were built high on stilts always had like a concrete base, and they very often had an extra room which was considered to be a maid's room and a bathroom and laundry tubs for doing the laundry. In those days, most people didn't have, I know my grandmother eventually, before I left there, before she got herself one of these old washing machines that you have, you wash in it, and then you use the tubs, too. It wasn't like the washers that we have today. But they all, those underneath those houses, there was always lots of room for playing, like when it was raining, or for hanging clothes, or for giving parties, or for... when I was young, we used to give a lot of plays. We'd make up plays and have plays, or sometimes if you'd give a dance recital or whatever, and that was all. And then you'd go out and sell tickets, of course, to all your neighbors, friends who would feel obligated to come
to buy
and,
them.
To buy them, right. With my, since I lived there from when I was probably four until I was seven, on, and that's the Atlantic side. Anyway, my grandmother and I, every time we went to the grocery store, we would walk through Calonne, which was really a was a nice walk, go to the grocery store, pick up the Carametta, which is a horse-drawn buggy, to come home.
Editor's note, this concludes the interview.